Open your Bibles to John chapter 15. I've been kind of stuck on this chapter for a while and just going to go over a few other things on it. I was just a premise. When I was raised a Roman Catholic, we would read things out of the Gospels all the time and every week, but we would never read from the epistles. So it was like the church fathers and the popes would interpret the Gospels, and you would just never get to the interpretation of the epistles. So when I started reading the epistles, it started giving me light in the Gospels, and then God saved me by grace. So that was my background growing up. So usually when I'm reading the Gospels, I'm always going to the epistles for instruction, because it's the apostles, prophets, and the apostles' faith we have, according to the scriptures. So that's just a premise. So let me have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time again to gather around your word, Lord. Pray for the persecuted brothers and sisters that don't have a Bible and can't have one, suffer persecution because of it. Some even die. And thank you for this opportunity we have to freely teach it. And just plant it in our hearts, Holy Spirit, to know Christ, to make him known. And we thank you, Father, for every benefit. In Christ's precious name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to John 15, verses 1 through 16. And then I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 3, a couple verses there. So John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire. They are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, verse 16, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Okay, in the second half, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 and 18 says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as it is in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And in chapter 4, 2 Corinthians, it says, therefore, seeing we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Okay, so I'm going to come back to this and flip back to John 15, and just going to go through that through a little bit until I get to the other part. So Christ starts out that I am. It's another great I am of Christ. And remember when he said in John 8:58, are you greater than our father Abraham? He says, before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up stones to kill him. And here he is, another I am, the true vine, my father, the husband. Okay, then he talked about every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So there's his spoken word. He's clean through the word. Now, Jesus Christ is our God and Savior. If we're born again, he's our all in all. And yet, but what does he say through the word? What does the word say? The word cleanses us. It has power to do that. I mean, when we're born again, we hear the word and the spirit quickens the word and makes us alive in Christ. And how are we clean as we go on in Christ? My disciples continue in the word, and the word continually cleanses us. So, and as a result of that, he says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. So right in verse 4, he uses that word abide three times. That means to stay, the state we're in, and it's our relation or experiencing. We abide in Christ, or expectancy. We have expectancy because we abide. We're in the state of grace. We're abiding, and that's the way we should be, abiding in Christ and being cleansed by his word. Amen. That's what I'm going to go forth and say what the scriptures are saying about those things. Look at verse 5. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. So, you know, the works of the flesh profit nothing. When I was following Jesus in order to be saved, just from the Gospels, and I didn't have light on grace and mercy and the finished work, and him being risen from the dead until I got to the epistles, then God saved a wretch like me. Up until then, I'm just trying to follow Jesus in order to get to heaven, to keep all his commandments, trying to love my enemies, trying not to lust, trying to do what he said, trying to love my neighbors. And it was just all in vain. Why? Because he said, without me, you can do nothing. And I didn't have Christ, and Christ didn't have me. And what could I do? Nothing. And praise the Lord, the Spirit showed me that all my righteous deeds are filthy rags, and all my works were in vain. And without Christ, I had nothing, and I could do nothing. And praise the Lord, he saves nobodies. Those that know, they have nothing. He becomes all in all. He becomes the vine, and he's the Lord of all. So praise his name. And so that's verse 5 there. And what's that fruit there? Much fruit. Now, as I was studying today, I came up with the fruit of the Spirit. And that's the first time I interpreted that fruit there. Me always evangelizing, and the fruit are the souls of men too, but I went to the fruit of the Spirit here to interpret that. Much fruit when we abide in Christ. And the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22 is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now, you know, my love, being selfish, self-righteous, condemning others. I sure didn't have long suffering. My human love made people suffer for a long time because it was always self-righteous and critical. And it just wasn't the love of God. It wasn't kind. It wasn't gentle. It wasn't goodness. It was just self-love. And that's the way I love, to try to follow Christ. Why? I didn't have the Spirit. The Spirit didn't produce the fruit because I didn't have it until I was born from above, until new life came from above. And then I had the Spirit, and then he started producing this fruit. I was amazed, you know, and I'm still amazed by it. You know, what a glorious Christ to save a wretch like me and give me life, give me the Spirit, and to produce this fruit in me. So, you know, when I first got saved, I couldn't help but tell people about Christ. And I just had a friend of mine I used to witness to for years and years back in Pittsburgh. He moved to California. Then one day he was on the beach just saying he's done. He started calling on the Lord, and the Lord turned him right around, saved him. And I haven't talked to him for 10, 12 years. And he called me last week, and he said, Bob, how do I get back to my first love? I left my first love in Revelation 2:4. I don't have that union with Christ. I don't have that, you know, abiding in Christ. I don't have the fellowship no more. I says, well, you had to replace it with something. What did you replace it with? Your wife, your family, your job, what you want in this life, this present evil world? I says, ask the Lord to examine your heart, to try and pray that he gets you back to first love. So that's why I think most of us can't witness. We left first love. We were able to witness when we got born again. And yet, you know, we need the love of Christ. And that's what I'm going to go over, that fruit of love, today in verse 7. And look at verse 7 in 1 Corinthians 15. That's where we're still at. He says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. So when we're abiding in Christ, his words, these great promises of the scriptures, this great grace that he gives us, those words abide in us, we will ask. And he will do it, and we will go forward, because where else are we going to go? Only Christ got the words of eternal life, but these words have to be hid in our hearts. Now, you know, talking to many people on the street by grace, and they'll say, I believe in Christ. I said, do you believe he's God? They go, well, of course. I said, do you have one scripture, one word that says it? They don't have any. I said, if you don't have a scripture for it, you don't know what the scripture says, you don't believe it. Boy, they look at me and they don't know what to say. Then what I do? I give them all the scriptures, write them up, say, here, look them up. Ask God. You know, not only do we abide in Christ and know Christ, but we know him according to the scriptures. We must know him according to the word. And my words abide in you. If his words abiding in us and we're abiding in Christ, we will ask and he will do it too. Because it'll be according to his will, not according to our will. So praise the Lord. And I told you I was going to go on that love area. Verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 15 still. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. So how are we going to bear a lot of fruit? We're with Christ a lot. We're receiving grace a lot. We're in the word. The word's in our hearts. We're asking God and he's doing it. Yeah, so, yeah, I'm sorry. It's not 1 Corinthians 15. It's John 15 that I'm in. Linda just told me that. So, thank you, Linda. And, okay, now I want to continue in his love. In verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue you in my love. So we're going to talk about continuing in Christ's love. So how do we continue in his love? We continue in his love by continuing in the word and these great scriptures on his love. Okay, so John 13, verse 1. If anybody, you can listen if you don't want to turn to the scriptures. I'm going to be sermon here. John 13:1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Man, this is the love he has for us. He loves us to the end. How do I know that? That's what it says right there, his word. So he loves us to the end. And it's a divine love in John 15:9, as we just read, as the Father loved me, there's God's love. I have loved you with the same love that he has from the Father, because he's equal to the Father. Continue in my love. It doesn't say our love. Continue in Christ's love. Have you ever had any bouts of love with Christ, knowing he loves you unconditionally? He loves you beyond measure. He gave himself completely for you. I mean, this ought to continually break our hearts, continually cause us to weep and thank him that he loves with this divine love. And look at John 15:13. It says, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. There's his self-sacrificing love. Romans 8:35, and we've been memorizing this one at the church, Romans 8:35. I think I got it memorized, but I better quote it anyway. I might miss a word or two. Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No way. Why not? Because it's an inseparable love. This is God's love. Continue in this love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, another one that is great love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, and that's why we need to continue in his word. Continue in the promises. Continue to ask God. As we abide in Christ and his words abide in us, we pray, and Lord, put these things in my heart. 2 Corinthians 5:14. This is a constraining love. For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. So there's the constraining love of Christ. Now here comes his sacrificial love in Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. And it says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What kind of love is this? This is God's love. This is the love of Christ that passes knowledge. So there's that sacrificial love. Loved me, gave himself for me. And this love is manifested too in 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That scripture came back to me today, or one just like it, and I was about to do my selfish thing, and I said, what am I doing? Somebody has a need. And praise the Lord, that scripture, looking to Christ to empower me, enabled me to help somebody with something today that if that word didn't come to me, I wouldn't have done it. It had just been on the same old self, you know, but now his love quickens me. Oh, what a glorious, wonderful God we have. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, one God. In 1 John 4:9, if you're still there, I'm there. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So we need to live through him, through his love. We need to live in that love that loves us to the end, that divine love that Christ has, that self-sacrificing love, a love that's inseparable, the love of Christ that constrains us, a sacrificial love, a love that was manifested in him, that he laid down his life for us. How can these things be? And in 2 Timothy, this is like the love crescendo. Ephesians 3. If maybe you could turn here, this is important. return here. I'll kind of wait for a minute on this. Ephesians chapter 3. And we're talking about the love of Christ and all the word says about it. And hopefully this word is hit in our hearts. Verse 14 through 19, it says, Ephesians 3, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, what's all that mean? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints. Look at it. It says with all saints. Look at it. We're wicked, vile, no good sinners. But on the other hand, I am a saint. If you're not a saint, well, you need to be born again into sainthood. And so in Christ, we're saints. In the Spirit, we're saints. In ourselves, we're wicked, vile, no good wretches. But in Christ, we're new creatures. So we may be able to comprehend with what? All saints. What's the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height? To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's the love of Christ again, to know this love. So, praise the Lord. Christ loves his own. He loved us to death. And we continue in his love. So that was in whole example there on verse 9. As the Father in John 15 has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue you in my love. So there is an amazing love of God, you know. Why he would choose me, give me faith, love a wretch like me who is his enemy. I mean, one sense I don't understand it, but another sense it's in me because the Holy Spirit's in me bearing witness that Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, how can these things be? But that's his great love. Oh, and he loves his own. He loved them unto death. Praise the Lord. So, continuing on. Wow, what a great Christ. What a great Father we have. It says in Jude 21, keep yourself in the love of God. So, we love him because he loves us. All right, going on. And, verse 10, and if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And what's his commandments? That we love one another. And, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes, he writes these things on our heart. When I was trying to justify myself by the law, by the commandments, I'd rather not do them. I'd rather just live for life and live for pleasure. But it's like, I don't want to go to hell. I'm keeping these commandments. I couldn't keep them. I had an outward form of them, a form of godliness, but I denied the power. What was the power? The love of Christ. I didn't have it. I wasn't born from above. I didn't know the love of Christ. All I knew was the wrath of Christ, his hard commandments, the harsh taskmaster. But oh, when his love came to me, when his Spirit came, when I was born from above, and I had the love of God in my heart, it just, unbelievable. It's a miracle of grace. Praise his name. And then it wasn't hard to love. Why? The Spirit wrote these commandments in my heart. He put the love of Christ in me. And look into Christ. He was able to love people I could never love. Oh, what a wonder of wonders. And verse 11, still in John 15, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, whose joy is it? It's his joy. Now, he says, I give you joy and peace, not as the world gives you peace. You know, so Christ gives that peace that passes all understanding. So we abide in him. His words abide in us. We ask for these things. We pray for them. And the Lord's delight to give them to us for his glory, for his honor. So praise his holy name. So that joy would remain in us. And another great scripture on joy, 1 Peter 1:8. if you're somebody's following me along, it'd be good to turn to that one. 1 Peter 1:8. It says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ah, there's our glory. We're the glory people too. Praise to for Mark and Jim that always exalt the glory of God. And I pray we continue exalting his glory. No glory unto us. All glory to the Lamb. All glory to the Father. And the Spirit of glory dwells in us. Oh, hallelujah. Who having not seen you love, in whom though you now see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable. Man, when we look to Christ, when we look to heavenly things, we got the joy unspeakable. Of course, we look right back to the world and the place we're at, and it's not too much joy here. But when we're looking to Christ, when we're looking to that heavenly city and New Jerusalem, when we know we'll get these new bodies, hallelujah, joy unspeakable. Got a good devotional I'm going to read here, too. It's a Puritan devotional reading. It's called Voices from the Past, from the Banner of Truth. And it's by a guy named David Clarkson on this 1 Peter 1:8. He says, rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. The glorious riches of Christ's love cannot be expressed but in the language of paradise. It cannot be understood but by a transported soul, a spirit caught up to the third heaven. The expressions which the Spirit uses for us to understand are such that we realize we cannot fully apprehend them. He tells us of joy unspeakable, 1 Peter 1:8. Peace that passes understanding, Philippians 4:7. Love that passes knowledge in Ephesians 3:19. And riches unsearchable, Ephesians 3:8. These streams are drops of love. Christ is the fountain, the ocean. These are sparks. He has given us the Son, S-U-N. His love gives us an interest in the glorious Trinity. The holy and uncreated Spirit is ours. His graces and comforts are ours. The Father also is ours. All that he is, all his glorious attributes, his all-sufficiency, wisdom, power, mercy, justice, truth, and faithfulness, his decrees are the springs of our happiness, Ephesians 1:4-5. His providences carry us with full sail into the ocean of glory. Heaven is our home, earth is our inn to accommodate us in our pilgrimage. And angels, they are our guard, in Matthew 4:6. And now, what is there in heaven and earth that the love of Christ has not made ours? There is nothing left but himself. And alas, what would all these things profit if we lack him? Without Christ, earth would be hell. The heaven would not be heaven. He is the hope of earth and the glory of heaven. See here the height of his love. He has given us himself, and all with himself, his love would let nothing be withheld from us, nor his life. He gave his life a ransom for us. He washed us in his blood, not his glory. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them. John 17:22. Oh, boundless love. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ's love. Oh, happy souls that have an interest in his love and in these riches. So, hallelujah, that's commentary on 1 Peter 1:8. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. So, hallelujah. So, we love one another. And in the next three or four verses, and in closing in John 15, I want to, verse 16 says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So, have you been chosen of the Lord? Have you been ordained? I'm chosen because he chose me in his love. He ordained me from the foundations to save a wretch like me, to put his spirit in me. How can it be? Thank you, Lord, for your ordination. Thank you for your choosing. Thank you, Lord, that we should bring forth fruit and that it will remain too. And you shall ask the Father, and he'll give it to you. If his words abide in us and we abide in Christ, we'll ask and we will receive. Don't be weary in well-doing. Due season, we shall reap if we don't faint. We don't faint because we look unto Christ. Hallelujah. All right, so closing, if you're going along with me, before we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, for kind of the interpretation on that, anybody questions or comments, something they'd like to add? Giving my throat a break. All right, we're going on. Yeah. Turn in your Bibles, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And I would say, by his love, as we receive his love, and that's the first fruit of the Spirit when we're born again. When we receive it and we continue in it, we bask in it, that very love works in us. We're changed in that very image. We're being conformed to Christ. His love is being formed in us. Hallelujah. We can die to our selfish love, the love for this world. And love those things that are above. Love the saints. Love the brethren. Praise the Lord. God's able to do this. And it's by the Spirit of the Lord. So, and then as a result of us, what do? We receive the ministry. What's the ministry? We receive mercy. We're vessels of mercy. And it's been going. Keep praying for the streets of Upper Darby. It seems like, I've been handing out a New Testament to, some Muslim, almost once a week. They've been taking them. Last week, this young lady at the bus stop, she's a Muslim. She was wide open. I'm preaching Christ to her, how she can earn mercy and how he's a God of mercy, how he saves freely. And she says, I'll take a Bible. I'll read it too. So, I was just rejoicing. And last week, a young fella took a Bible and he was a Muslim. And, so praise the Lord. I had, two Hindus today when I was talking to people in the Walmart, and neither of them would take a Bible, and they were too strict in their religion, I guess. And but the one girl did take a tract, so that was good. So, and what's their religion? They're trying to be good to get to heaven. They're hoping their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, and just like any other self-righteous religion. That's all of us, without the Spirit of grace and mercy. So, same image, glory to glory, by the Spirit of the Lord. So we receive this ministry. We're vessels of mercy. We don't faint. Why? Because we look to Christ. We abide in Christ. His word abides in us. We don't faint. We pray. And that's the result of his word abiding in us. We pray according to the truth of his word. And it's for the glory of Christ. And God hears us all the time. The Father has to hear us for his Son's sake. And then we pray according to his will, and he works these things out, and he empowers us, and he puts more love in us so we can love the brethren and sisters, and praise the Lord. God begins his good work in us, and he sees it to completion. It's by grace. It's not by work. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. And what happens as a result? As we receive mercy, we don't faint. We have renounced in verse 2. We're in 2 Corinthians 4, 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And I was just thinking of not walking in craftiness, nor from handling the word of God deceitfully. I'm using it for my own advantage, for my own ends. And so when God does it, though, then it's for the brethren. It's for God's love to work in my heart, to love the brethren, to do good to the brethren. In fact, to do good to all men. Why? His love is working in me. Christ died for his enemies. When I was yet his enemy, he died for me. Now, you know, you want, I don't know about you, but I want to see people saved and know Christ and his kingdom, his glory. But if the gospel's hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And the God of this world is blind in the minds of them to believe not. He's the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Just had a young fellow who's a worker in Walmart today, and I talked to him about Christ. He says, "Mister, I'm born and raised in the scriptures. I know all that's true about Christ and who he is, and the Bible's the truth." I said, "You want to come to Christ and look to him, the Savior?" He says, "No way. I want my own life." I said, "Please take a Bible." "Nope, I don't want a Bible or a tract," he said. No. Is the gospel hid? It's hid to him right now. You know, is the God of this world blinding him right now? But what if he's going to be one of the Lord's? What if he's one of the elect? He'll come sooner or later. So I told him the great and mighty things Christ has sent me from. I was religious like him and lost, self-willed, and God saved me by his will, by his power. So he thanked me for the testimony, and, you know, God knows those that will be his, and he will save those that are his too. Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they will follow me. I lose not. All that the Father gives to me will come to me." So, we're still in 2 Corinthians 4, closing up here. And in verse 5, "We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Now, the Holy Spirit didn't say, "Jesus Christ our Savior." What did he say in verse 5? He says, "Christ Jesus the Lord." Why does he say, change it from Jesus Christ to Christ Jesus? I say the Holy Spirit's writing through Paul, and he's saying that the Christ in glory right now at the right hand of the Father, not the Christ that has died. Of course, he's finished the work. He has died, but he's risen. He's exalted at the right hand, and now he's addressing them as Christ Jesus the Lord. "But we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Now I'm preaching Christ crucified once for sin forever, but now he's risen. He's the Lord. He's God. He's not only Savior, he's Lord and Savior. "So we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord." Now, if the love of Christ ain't constraining you, and his love ain't in you for poor lost souls, you probably won't tell anybody anyway. Oh, look to Christ. You remember when you were first saved, you had first love? You weren't ashamed of Christ. He was everything. Oh, may his love grow more and bound into us more. Receive it according to the scriptures. It's immeasurable, self-sacrificing, divine love. Fill our hearts that we won't leave our first love. That we know him as Christ Jesus the Lord. He's no longer lowly Jesus. He's exalted Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Oh, may he give us love to be servants for Christ's sake. Not to be served, but to be servants. For God, this is our great God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who, verse 6, 2 Corinthians 4, 6. "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now he goes back. Remember, verse 5, he said Christ Jesus, the exalted. Now he's saying he's given his account, the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. So he's going to him from his dying and rising, not in his glory right there, but I mean in the glory of the resurrection, but he calls him Jesus Christ. He doesn't say Christ Jesus. "So we have this treasure in earthen vessels," in verse 7, "that the excellency and the power may be of God and not of us." We have the love of Christ. It's not our human selfish love. It's God's love in us. It's the power of God. And then his treasure. I mean, you know, as foul as we are in the flesh, and we are, we're totally wicked. There's nothing good in us. We still have this treasure in an earthen vessel. And the Spirit dwells in us. We're born of God. We're saints of the Most High. And, you know, and we can look to the Lord. We can abide in Christ. We can pray according to his will, and God will do it in his timing, for his glory, for his kingdom. Oh, glory to Christ. Oh, he is so good. So he is our peace. He is our patience. He is our long suffering. He is our all in all. Christ is everything. And before I say, like, a closing thing, any questions or comments out there? Okay, so we're closing up in John 15:17. He says, these things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you are of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And boy, if it hates us, we can't return hate for hate. Christ was reviled. He didn't revile back. You need his love. So we become lights in this world, not darkness, to get back at them like we're losing something in this world. What can we lose in this world? We got heaven. We got eternity forever. So he says, the Lord saying to him in verse 20 of John 15, remember the word that I have said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. They have persecuted me. They will also persecute you. If you have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. And it's for Christ's name's sake. It isn't for our sake that we become some persecuted heroes and we get some glory for it. No, for his name's sake. Oh, glory to him. If I had come and spoken unto you that had not had sin, but now you have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled, that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And before Christ saved us by his grace and his great love, that's all of us, we hated him without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. And there's the Holy Spirit testifying of Christ, producing the fruit, exalting Christ in his glory, his love, his peace, his joy. And we're all partakers of that if we're partakers of this divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. And this is working in and through us. All continue to abide in Christ, continue in his word. And then he says in verse 27, to close that chapter, and you shall bear witness because you have seen, you have been with me from the beginning. So, oh, hallelujah. May we bear witness to this great Christ, this great salvation he gives to poor, lost, unworthy, hell-deserving sinners and deserve nothing but wrath. And he puts his love on somebody, he turns them, he gets them, and Christ gets all the glory. Thank you, Father, for drawing us. Thank you, Christ, you are all in all to us. And Lord, thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us. Lord, may your love flood our hearts. We need your love. May we die to our selfish love, Lord, and love for the things of this world, Lord. In Christ, if we have any human love above us, husband, wife, children, oh, well, bring it down. You must have first place, Christ, because you're all in all, Lord. Without you, we have nothing at all. We are nothing at all, and we can do nothing at all. But through you, Christ, we can do all things because you strengthen us, Lord. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Build the church, Lord. Put your love one for another, Lord. Maybe we even call somebody we haven't called for a long time. And but you must overflow us, Lord. So we look to you, Christ. We look to you, Father, by your almighty power, Holy Spirit. So any questions or comments? There's somebody out there.
What kind of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God?
How can that be, huh?
Yeah, that's probably. How can that be? Wow.
What that's great.
Yes. You know, we don't deserve, we can't even comprehend that love. You know.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
And it's just begun. We just got drops of it, you know.
Yes.
Wait till we see them face to face. We'll be like them.
Yes.
Can't even imagine it, you know. We can't even imagine the things he got in store for. Hallelujah.
Sorry.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it's so important to understand, as you went over to today, all of those doctrines that lead us to the love of God. Because a lot of people have a concept of the love of God that's unbiblical, and I think it could even be very motivating for them, and yet it's based on error. But when we understand God's love in Christ and through the work of the Holy Spirit, through being in union with Christ, through seeing that we are unworthy in any way to receive that love, so understanding all of that gives us the proper perception of God's love in Christ, and thus we are empowered as believers. But sadly, for many, in their superficial and shallow theology, they say God loves you, and God loves everybody, and there's this this vague understanding of what that means, and it really becomes meaningless. But understanding all of that truth that's connected to God's love and how it works in us is so powerful and necessary in the Christian life. Thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Bob, one quick comment. I like the point that you made about fruit. This could be either the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of others' souls that we can. It's an ambiguity there, which is interesting and helpful sometimes to have both in mind.
Yeah, amen.
Say that again, Jim. You were breaking up at the beginning, at least on my.
Am I breaking up? Oh, there. I was just saying, Bob, earlier, I don't know, towards the beginning of the study, said that he had just noticed that this idea of fruit could be both the fruit of other people's, other souls that are saved, or the fruit of the Spirit in us. And I think it's helpful to see the connection there, that the fruit of the Spirit in us will really make us more Christ-like and therefore a better witness for him, and then God would be more pleased to use us in that case.
Amen.
Interesting point.
Amen.
It's interesting how a few times in the New Testament, too, we're encouraged to, like, keep ourselves in the love of God, as Jude says. I'm trying to think. There's other passages, too, that speak similarly. And so there is a deliberate, conscious thing that the Christian can do to cultivate that love for Christ. And that's so huge in terms of our growth, you know, to understand what that means to keep ourselves in the love of Christ, because we can slip away from it so easily. The Spirit doing it in us, but it's also something that the believer can deliberately do by considering mainly the gospel, as you know, considering our great sinfulness and the great love that's in Christ and what he did for us. Just constantly drawing us back to that place of love.
So Mark,
I says, by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. By the power of God through faith.
So, Mark, I got a question for you. My friend had called me this week that I haven't talked to for 10 years, and he told me he left his first love. How would you point him? Where would you point him at that point?
Well, I guess we'd have to go to depravity and, you know, because if a Christian's lost their first love, they must have lost the reality of the depths of their own sinfulness. As Christ said in Luke 7, he that is forgiven much will love much. So when he said that, he actually, you know, then he said to him, as he said to him, that's forgiven little, he'll love little. So if he's loving little, he's only seeing falsely that he's been forgiven little. So I would have to say that if someone's lost their first love, the first thing they've lost sight of is their utter destitution without Christ. They've also lost, the vision of Christ himself and what he has done in spite of our desperate state. I kind of picture it like a piece of glass where you could see Christ through the glass, but you see your own reflection at the same time, where you're seeing both, if that makes sense. Yeah, I think as Christians, we could say, well, we're saved and we're righteous in Christ, and we absolutely should say that, and we should understand that, and that should be a ground that we're standing on. But the Apostle Paul said, I am, he's speaking in the present tense in 1 Timothy 1:15, when he said, I am the chief of all sinners. He's speaking as a Christian, as an apostle in the present tense. And so, we can't lose sight of that. I think many people do. And I think many pulpits, cease to preach it. People lose sight of it. And it forms all kinds of deformities in people's Christian life because they're not being constantly humbled by that reality, while at the same time, that humility is propelling us to see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he would die and come to this earth, that he would rise from the dead, he would do all of this for sinners such as ourselves. It's the, you know, it's the diamond on the piece of black velvet that the black velvet draws out the beauty of the diamond.
Amen. So, yeah, as you were saying that, Mark, about, they said, like Paul says, I am the chief. I was just looking at the Church of Laodicea right after he gets done with the, what we said about leaving first love. He says, to the Laodicean, because you say, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Same thing. You said, like Paul says, I am the chief. They're saying, I am rich.
Right, right. Yep. And that can even happen in our theology, right? Not just in our, like, saying we're rich in terms of, you know, we're wealthy. Although I think in Laodicea they were wealthy in terms of money. But we could do that in terms of our, even our theology. We could say, well, we're wealthy in Christ, and we are. Amen. But that can never cause us to lose sight of our poverty without him. And it can, though, but it shouldn't. And if it does, and then we'll lose sight of our first love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let me close in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for the word. We're able to read it so freely. Study it, Lord. But unless you build the house, Father, we labor in vain. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're our teacher. You're the one who teaches us, empowers us. And, oh, Christ, you loved us and gave yourself for us. Oh, thank you for your love, Christ. May it constrain us. May it be more and more in us. We've left first love, Lord. Just return us. And we just thank you for the grace to continue on in this most holy calling. For your glory and honor, O Christ, we thank you, Father. Amen.